paper chase.
Abstract number one, the development and validation of a penicillin allergy clinical decision rule. And this is by Trubiano et al. From JAMA Internal Medicine. So self-reported penicillin allergies can not only limit our antibiotic choices when someone says they have a penicillin allergy, so for that particular patient it matters, but it also can impact sort of the larger world of antibiotic stewardship programs and your local antibiotic resistance patterns. Now, so there are negatives that come along with sort of like these penicillin allergies to the community as a whole, and it may be worth sort of just saying we're going to avoid penicillin altogether in these patients if those allergies were all real. But the truth of the matter is most of them turn out to be false alarms. The best estimates, at least here in the United States, are that only about 10% of self-reported penicillin allergies are true allergies to penicillin and can be confirmed. Now, some places have incorporated sort of real-time antibiotic allergy testing, AAT programs, into their patient care. These have resulted in really high rates of post-test ability to use beta-lactam antibiotics. But these antibiotic allergy testing programs take time, they cost money, they require specialist interpretation, and they're labor intensive due to all the components of it.
Never going to be ready for the ER.
No way. So the authors of this paper argue that the most practical solution would actually be a validated point of care decision rule that can be used in real time at the patient's bedside. So they went about developing one. And what they did was they enrolled a prospective cohort of patients who were undergoing antibiotic allergy testing as part of their antibiotic stewardship program, where they recruited patients between May 2015 and June 2019 from two sites in Melbourne. And that's also another reason why this gets to be the paper chaser of the month. One, because it's pretty cool and very different. And two is because it's from Melbourne. You're welcome, Mel. So patients who reported any penicillin allergy and underwent either skin prick testing, intradermal testing, patch testing, and or an oral challenge directly after skin testing were extracted from this prospective database of patients. Patients who had a negative skin prick test or intradermal test who did not undergo subsequent oral penicillin challenge were then excluded from the cohort. So what they did was they generated a list of predictor variables, so things that, you know, could be associated potentially with identifying correctly a penicillin allergy, and then conducted a univariate analysis to look for associations with the positive result of penicillin allergy test, being the dependent variable. They included variables with a prevalence of at least 5% and those with a two-sided p-value of less than 0.2 in their multivariate regression model. Now, in the internal validation cohort, they had 622 patients, median age of 60, about 60% female, and the prevalence of a positive penicillin allergy test was 9.3%. So that goes along with what we know, about 10% of these are real. The four features that they found to be associated with a positive penicillin allergy test on their multivariate analysis luckily can be summarized into an easy-to-remember mnemonic, which is PENFAST.
Lucky. Yeah, you know that they were like, we're going to suppress the data on the ones that screw up our fast because PENGAS just doesn't work.
Yeah, they could have made it even better. It could have been PENAL or something. So maybe this one's real. So the first one, it's actually a little confusing whether it's three or four because the first one is penicillin allergy. They say they have a penicillin allergy. That's the PEN. And then the F stands for 5 or fewer years since their last reaction. Okay, and this is where they start to give some points. And if you have that, you get 2 points. The A is anaphylaxis or angioedema.
So serious reaction.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then there's an or, a severe cutaneous adverse reaction. So either you have like really bad anaphylaxis or just a terrible, terrible body rash. You get 2 points for that. That's the A and the S. And then the T is you had to get treatment for your allergic episode of any kind, even if it's just like a little Benadryl or something like that. And that gets you 1 point, okay? So the 5 or fewer years gets you 2 points, the bad reaction gets you 2 points, and any form of treatment gets you 1. And basically they are saying, if your score is a 0, you have a very low risk of having a positive penicillin allergy test, and that risk is less than 1%. If your score is 1 to 2, they're calling you low risk, and we'll say that's about 5%. 3 is moderate risk at 20%. And if you have a score of 4 or 5, you're like a 1 out of 2. You're 50% of having a real positive penicillin allergy test. Now, so using a cut point of less than 3, so if you're a 0, 1, or a 2, they found that their PenFast rule, clinical decision aid, had a sensitivity of 70%, just about, and a specificity of 78%. Positive predictive value, 25%, but a negative predictive value of 96.3%. Now, if you have a PenFast score of 0, so you have none of those things, then your negative predictive value goes all the way up to 99.4%. That's where they're relatively confident you don't have a penicillin allergy. So that's the first stage of the development of the clinical decision rule. Then they did do an external validation of the rule as well. So they really went through all the steps here. Almost 1,000 patients from 3 different sites. One was in Sydney, Australia, and that's on the east coast of Australia. Perth.
I think because it's Southern Hemisphere, it's the west coast.
You flip it. Perth from the west coast, and the logical third choice,
Melbourne.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Of course.
Not sure how that came to be on the middle coast
of Australia.
So they basically found the test characteristics to be very similar to in the derivation cohort in this external validation. So they really went through a very rigorous method for their clinical rule development. They did everything right. They did it by the books. And the findings look encouraging, although they definitely need to validate this rule in more diverse patient populations. You know, these patients weren't like ED patients. They tend to be sort of a homogenous group. Actually, they're white, a little bit older. There's not a lot of ethnic diversity here. A few other things before this thing can be widely adopted, I think. But to be clear, I'm going to be really clear, they're not overstating their results here. Even if the patient was low risk, they're not then saying like, yeah, go ahead and give him a big slug of like IV penicillin. That is not what they're saying.
Give him an injection of benzathine.
Yeah, benstain penicillin. I'm like suffering for 2 weeks. That's not what they're saying. What they're saying is, or they're even not saying, you know, discharge them with a prescription. What they're saying is if they end up being low risk or, you know, score less than 3, or if you want to be really conservative, 0, what they can do is get an observed oral challenge. That's what they're actually recommending here. So they're not saying you just sort of like go rogue and start giving these people a bunch of IV penicillin. But, you know, this penicillin allergy thing is real, and it's a real problem because I think we see this on nearly every shift where somebody says they're pen allergic and you're like, oh, really? What happened? You take penicillin? Like,
my mom told me.
I have no idea. I had to take it when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
So and there have been other groups that have tried to make these penicillin sort of allergy clinical decision rules, and they didn't look as good as this one. So this one looks like it has the most promise. And already it's like all over the interweb where people are saying like, this is going to be the next great thing. So I think it's good to be on the forefront of it.
Sure.
Although it needs more validation. It's still a pretty interesting rule on a very, very useful topic.
Well, and the other thing that comes up a lot with this penicillin allergy is cross-reactivity with cephalosporins. So, you know, they're like, I had a penicillin allergy. What happened? My mom said I got a rash when I was 2 and I'm 45 years old now. And you're like, okay, well, that's not very serious. I don't really want to give you penicillin still because you said it is listed on the chart. And they're like, but what about Keflex? You know, and then you're in this other dilemma. But if you start by going, look, you probably have a 1% if I gave you penicillin.
That's exactly
And then
right.
you have a, you know, maybe a 10% cross-reactivity with cephalosporin. Now you're getting into some really low numbers. So this is somewhat.
Now you're getting into point numbers. This is definitely going to be something very useful once it gets validated a little better.
Editor's commentary.
The authors of this paper have developed a clinical decision rule to identify patients who are at low risk of a true penicillin allergy called the PenFast, which contains 4 elements: penicillin allergy, 5 or fewer years since last reaction, anaphylaxis, angioedema, or severe cutaneous reaction, and treatment required for the allergic episode. A score of less than 3 had excellent negative predictive value, but further validation is required with a more diverse patient population cohort before using this rule in the bedside at the ED.